ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ शुक्लाम्बरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजम् प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये गजाननं भूतगणादिसेवितं कपित्तजम्बूफलसारभक्षितम् उमासुतं शोकविनाशकारणं नमामि विघ्नेश्वर पादपङ्कजम् ॐ नमो व्रातपतये नमो गणपतये नमः प्रमथपतये नमस्ते स्तुलम्बोदराय कदन्ताय विघ्ननाशिने शिवसुताय वरदमूर्तये नमो नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय कोटिसूर्यसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ शुभं कुरुत्वं कल्याणमारोग्यं धनसंपदः शत्रुबुद्धिविनाशाय दीपज्योतिर्नमोऽस्तु ते ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानामालयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिम्
नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ ह्रीं ॐ
यस्टर्डे स्वामीजी वास् मेन्शनिङ्ग् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः रिमेम्बर् व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः and avyavasayatmika buddhihi. In Tamil language, vyavasayaha means vyavasayam, agriculture. Enna pandraru? In Tamil Nadu problem we have vyavasayam, krishi we don't say, okay? Others don't have the problem. Tamil people have the problem. The word vyavasayaha is used to mean agriculture. In Tamil, not even, they won't even say vyavasaya, they say vyavasayam mantar. Vyavasayam means what? Agriculture, occupation, something they mean in Tamil language, a problem. But please listen, vyavasayatmika buddhihi means being clear about one's ultimate end. See, one can have many ends, no problem. Everyone should have many ends. But one should be clear about the ultimate end. And being clear about the ultimate end, if a person has clear understanding, or the person is clear about his ultimate end, he has no confusion, no doubt about what his ultimate end is, then he has vivasayatmika buddhihi. Okay, avyavasayinam, if people are not clear, the unclear minded people, now whose mind's attention is, the mind is scattered to many things, then they have many ends. Ultimate end is not very clear, means a problem. one can have as many goals as possible. From the ultimate end, what it is should be very clear. And that is the person, the one who has that clear knowledge of the end. No, we call that person, we say the person has Purushartha Nischayaha. Purushartha Nischayavan Purushaha. He has Purushartha Nischayaha. I've been saying from day one, I came here, I've been saying, using this word, Purushartha Nischayaha. And you all know very well, now we are very clear, we had to pursue Artha for security, we had to have pleasures to continue to be, to have energy to pursue Artha, but our pursuit of Artha and Kama, the pleasures, these should be in conformity with Dharma, ultimately for Mokshaha. Okay, Mokshaha is what? The discovering the freedom which is already there. That means what? We are not going to discover happiness. We are not going to discover the fullness. Okay, in fact, what is discovering? Of course, we are going to discover fullness and happiness, but we are going to, when you say freedom, how does this discovery of happiness, now, help me? How is this discovery of happiness going to help me in freeing myself from problems? It's going to free you by freeing you from the sense of being small, freeing you from the notion you have about yourself. That is why you can never become big, you can never become happy. You have to discover the happiness which is already there. Discovering the happiness which is already there will help you to free yourself from the notion you have about yourself. Are you really bound then? You are not really bound. If you are really bound, you are really bound by limitations, then you cannot be freed at all. But you are not really bound. But the problem is, you think you are bound. The notion you have about yourself is the problem. For freeing oneself from the notion that I am bound is really attaining freedom. See, I am putting it differently today. You are not going to understand. You are not going to really attain. Attaining freedom means what? Discovering happiness is going to help you to free yourself from the notion you have about yourself. In correcting the error you have about yourself. Error in a perception of yourself. So correction of error in the perception of oneself needs what? Clear knowledge. But this knowledge of the reality will help you correct the error in perception of yourself. That is what is real freedom. That is what is mokshaha. And this is what we said, and the reality has been understood as the very self, and for which we have to do the, we have to distinguish the self, the reality of the entire universe available for knowledge only as the self, as the meaning of the word I. Really speaking, none of us, we use the word I, and we always say I am. We do not know exactly what is the meaning of the word I. What exactly the word I means? We never think, okay? And that's why the understanding the meaning of the word I is understanding what the self is. Understanding the self is understanding the self of every being here, the truth, the reality of everything. And therefore, anything and everything other than the self is what? The self is meant by the word Atma in Sanskritam. And other than the Atma, everything other than the self is what? Anatma. So we saw in the last class, the previous classes, how we distinguished the self using the subject-object analysis. And we discovered how the body, the gross body, not only the gross body as an object of knowledge is not the Atma. Atma is not the gross body. Atma is also not any of the 16 components, 16 factors which constitute the subtle body. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. So we saw 5 sense organs, powers of organs, sense organs, 5 powers of organs of actions, and 5 physiological functions, and also the antahkaranam, mind. And we saw mind is nothing but constituent of many thoughts, and none of the thoughts, Atma is not any of the thought or the state of mind or the entire mind, because mind also is an object of knowledge. The mind, what is the last thought which can be there? The thought, the knowledge that I am. You understand? The knowledge that I am is the dead end of the mind. Without that, no other thought is possible. So that even the knowledge that I am is also what? Thought. And that thought is also what? An object of knowledge. That thought is there in waking state. The knowledge that I am is not there in deep sleep state. Simple. So the thought being there is known. The thought being not there also is known. Therefore, what does it mean? It's an object of knowledge. Therefore, Atma is not any of the objects of knowledge. Therefore, Atma, what is Atma? Atma is there, is something which is there as the pure awareness, as pure knowledge in all the 3 states of experience. In waking state, there is knowledge that the universe is, the knowledge that I am. There is experience. Therefore, because the waking state is experienced, the waking state is known, and we know there is definitely the knower. Without the knower, knowledge is not possible. Without the experiencer, the experience is not possible. Okay, there is an experienced known universe in waking state. There is an experience and there is an experiencer. Similarly, in dream state also, I'm going to give you the textbooks, okay, next week. Today I was supposed to bring, the girl was supposed to give me the books, she didn't bring the books today. Anyway, and we'll have the text and Papa will follow everything. And I also said, and the dream state also is experienced, therefore there is an experiencer. There is something called deep sleep state, and there also is an experiencer, because deep sleep state also is experienced. There is an experience of deep sleep state. What is that in deep sleep state? There is no knowledge. There is an experience of no knowledge. Experience of no knowledge means what? Knowledge being not there is known. What knowledge is not there? The universe is. The knowledge is not there. I am. The knowledge is not there. There is no experience. There is no knowledge. There is no perception. Understand? Nothing is there. And that is experienced. Understand? That is a blankness of the mind is experienced. But not while, when you are asleep, you cannot say how it is. But when you wake up from sleep, you can very well say, oh, nothing was there in deep sleep state. That means there is that deep sleep state also is experienced. There is an experience and there is an experiencer, because of the presence of which experience is possible. And that experiencer, okay, the experiencer in all the 3 states of mind, okay, the experiencer of the sleep is called a sleeper. The experiencer, okay, of the dream is called a dreamer. The experiencer of the waking state is called a waker. Waker, dreamer, sleeper. All the 3 are what? One. One. Okay. Only one experiencer. only experiencer is experiencing, you know, every state of mind. And that experiencer is not somebody, okay, something. They like the fourth person who is sitting there, okay, not sitting, okay, is the pure, is the meaning of the word I, that is pure consciousness and pure awareness, pure knowledge. We all know very well there is an experiencer. And why? Because when we say experiencer, when I say there is knower, when I say immediately we think of something, we always think of somebody doing something, action. We always, with the knower, seer, when you say knower, seer, eater, this ER affix always makes us think of somebody doing some action. So when I say no, there is a knower in every state of experience. When you say there's a knower in every set of experience, so we all think somebody, who's there sitting, doing the act of knowing? That is what I said. Please come on. We use the word knower, we use the word experiencer. Really speaking, there, the reality, the truth of the entire jagat, the self of all the beings, is available for recognition as the experiencer. That experiencer is what? Pure consciousness. So pure consciousness is the meaning of the word I. Pure consciousness is the self, Atma. And what is Swarup? And knowing is not an action. The first teaching I told you in the first class, knowing is not an action. Okay, knowing is what? Swarupam. Please learn this word. Even though I use the word in English, nature, it's not very expressive. Swarupam means what? Intrinsic, inseparable. Okay, when you see this, the light, no, the prakashaha, jyotihi, when I show this, there is fire here. There is fire, the flame of the fire. And when you see the flame of the fire, jyotihi prakashaha, jyotihi prakashaha, the effulgence is its swarupam. Can you separate the effulgence from the light? Swarupam. It's a gross thing because we are seeing through our eyes. Whereas similarly, the reality you cannot see through the lights, your eyes. But what is its swarupam? It is inseparable, knowing, knowledge. That is why the reality is implied by the word knowledge. Jnana swarupam brahma, atma. Jnana swarupaha atma. Remember this word, jnana swarupaha atma. It means what? Atma is of the nature of knowing. I'll be adding words now. First, swarupam is how it is said. Jnana swarupaha atma. That means atma is of the nature of, is the swarupam of knowing. Atma is of the nature of knowing. Aridal paramborulin swarupam. Sayal alla, not an action. Understand? But still, we have to say, that if we have to, you say, who is the knower? Therefore, from the standpoint of the known states of mind, what do we say? The knower of every state of mind, okay, the reality, the consciousness, because of the presence of which every state of mind is known. Every state of mind comes to light. Oh, that reality is the knower from the standpoint of the known state of mind. Really speaking, knower is not, for want of, you just use the word knower. Really speaking, there's only pure knowledge, pure consciousness, pure awareness. These three words are synonyms. Please understand, pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and pure awareness, I use the word pure also, is what? Is the reality. and which is available for recognition as the knower, as the experiencer, as the meaning of the word I. This one meaning I said, and later on I came to the next point. Knowing is the swarupam of the consciousness, the reality. And I said, this consciousness, if this conscious, the consciousness which is of the nature of knowing is the meaning of the word I, then there are so many beings and every so many human beings who self-conscious beings, the meaning of I in every one of us is what? The same consciousness. That means the question may be there, no, are there many atmas? No. So they said, why? Atma is a word in Sanskritam, which means the self. Self means the meaning of the word I. And this consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness. Next, now you know the nature of knowing. Understand? Therefore, Ananda Swarupaha Atma. Ananta Swarupaha Atma. Jnana Swarupaha, you have learnt first. Last week I told, Atma is Ananta Swarupaha. Is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. That means what? Atma is, niravayavaha. Atma is niravayavaha, means what? It is partless. It has no parts. Atma doesn't have many parts. Like if we say in a human being, head and trunk and body, hands and legs, we have parts. Many parts are there. So if you say like a tree, we can have so many parts. The trunk, the roots, the branches, flowers and leaves and like that, we have many parts. If something has many parts, and that which has parts is said to be what? Savayavaha. The partless is called niravayavaha. Niravayavatvat, because it is partless, it is not divisible. Consciousness is not divisible. Divisible, it cannot be divided into, it is indivisible. Why it is indivisible? Because it is partless. Because we have many parts, therefore we can divide, can cut. Understand? Like this. But partless, no. If you ask the example, how do you say if something is partless and the partless thing cannot be divided? How do you say that? There's a piece of wood, okay, it has no parts. But still I can divide it, you can ask. I say, a piece of wood also has part. I can say that. How? Because it has edges. I can say, the edge of the flat and so the board. It can be broken into pieces. But it's not divisible. There's no space is there. Does space have parts? No. Therefore, space is what? Indivisible. Anything which has many parts is subject to division. It can be divided into many parts. The partless one cannot be divided, therefore it's indivisible. We've caught about consciousness. Consciousness is partless. Therefore it is indivisible. Therefore it is one whole. This partless, indivisible, whole. Understand? And this I said, now you know to nature of the Atma, okay? Atma is part. Atma is in one indivisible partless whole. Like how, even though we see many waves, in every wave, the truth of every wave is water. Similarly, even though we see many bodies and all that, the truth, the meaning of the word I in every one of us is what? Same consciousness. In fact, consciousness, because indivisible, like how it looks how these walls which stand in space seem to be dividing the space. No? Themselves stand in space, but they seem to be dividing the space. Really speaking, space is indivisible. Similarly, you say consciousness also is what? Everything exists in consciousness. For consciousness cannot be divided by anything which exists in consciousness. How can the wave divide the water? Tell me. Wave itself exists where? In water. And can wave which exists in water divide the water? Tell me. But when you see, as though there is division. There is division between what? One wave, okay, but actually speaking, the wave which has its existence in water cannot divide the water. Similarly, please understand, we say every object in this universe exists in consciousness. You cannot divide the, nothing can divide the consciousness. Why? Therefore, consciousness is one indivisible, partless whole. This was last class lesson. And now I tell you, and this consciousness, does it have beginning? Does it have beginning? Is it born newly? Please understand, being born means, okay, coming into existence. Coming into existence means what? It should not have been before, only then can come into existence. That means then we can say it has beginning. Anything which is born, which was not there before, which comes into existence newly, be born, has a beginning. The body has a beginning. Why? Before 1963 it was not there. Till 1963 November it was not there. Simply I'm saying, just an age, okay, year and say. And some year it was not there. And it came into being, it was born in a given year. That means what? Anything which is born, which comes into being newly, has a beginning. Anything which has a beginning definitely has what? An end also. Anything which has a beginning definitely has an end. And not only that, which has a beginning, which has an end, in between beginning and end also constantly undergoes changes. Everything which is made, which has a beginning, has an end, and before it comes to an end totally, it keeps on undergoing changes. But what about consciousness? Consciousness is not born. Consciousness has no beginning. It is beginningless. Why? Because there's no time, it does not exist. It always exists. How do we say it is beginningless? Because it is self-existent. See, consciousness is of the nature of self-existence. That means what? It does not depend upon anything else for its existence. For example, remember, listen carefully. When I say this is a wooden product, wooden object made of wood, and if I remove the wood from here, listen, if I remove, take away the wood from here, this wooden thing will not be there. It means what? It is this form is dependent on the wood for its existence. If we remove the water, ocean will not be there. That means what? The existence of the water is the existence of the ocean. So ocean is dependent on water for its existence. Listen carefully. Ocean is dependent on water for its existence. Ocean has dependent existence. Whereas water is not dependent on ocean for its existence. Water can be without being an ocean. Isn't it? So gold is independent of the ornament. But the ornament is dependent on gold for its existence. If you remove the gold, where is the chain? It will disappear. So that which has dependent existence and that which has independent existence, we have to say that. So anything which exists depending upon something else is what? An effect. Effect. And the cause is that which does not depend upon the effect. Okay, the cause is never dependent upon the effect for its existence. But the effect has dependent existence. Cause has independent existence. For example, the gold is the cause and the ornament is the effect. And ornament is what? Effect. And gold is the cause. Which is dependent, which is independent? Gold is not dependent on the chain, the ornament, or the chain is dependent on the gold for its existence. Therefore, we say every object, what, every effect has a cause. And every effect has dependent existence. The cause is independent existence. Cause has independent existence. Is it clear now? Now we say every cause also is dependent on some other cause. Every cause is what? Dependent on some other cause. We say, oh, this is a table, nice table. Table is what? This is... is, you know, it's a name of a given form. Is made of wood. So wood is the cause, table is the effect. But the wood also is dependent on what? Where has it come from? The tree. The bark of a tree. Bark, big bark. And the bark is where? From the tree. Tree is from where? Another. Like that, if you see, every cause is dependent on some other cause. Then understand? And that cause which is dependent on some other cause is said to be relative cause. What is that? Relative cause. First, you should remember this point. First step, what should remember? The cause has independent existence. Effect has dependent existence. It means what? Cause is independent of the effect, whereas effect is dependent on the cause. But every cause has its own cause. Therefore, from the standpoint of its cause, it becomes what? Relative cause. Why? In relation. From the standpoint of the table, wood is the cause, but the standpoint of the big bark of a tree, okay, it becomes an effect. Is it clear now? Therefore, we say every cause is relative cause. But if there is a cause, listen carefully, if there is a cause, it has no cause at all. It has no cause. Every relative cause has a beginning. Why? It has its own cause. And I say, if there is a cause which is not dependent on any other cause, every cause which is dependent on some other cause is called a relative cause. The cause which is not dependent on any other cause is said to be the absolute cause, the ultimate cause, moola karanam. You say moola karanam means the ultimate absolute cause which is not dependent on any other cause. Okay? And that, so that which is That which has no cause is what? Is not dependent on any other cause, is the absolute cause. That means if it doesn't have a cause, that means what? It is self-existent. Self-existent. If anything which has a cause, if anything is dependent on something else for its cause, it has no self-existence. It is not self-existent. Now, wave is not self-existent. Why? Wave is dependent on water for its existence. So, anything which does not depend upon something else for its existence is called what? Self-existent. And we say consciousness is the only thing which is self-existent. Please remember, consciousness is of the nature of self-existence. That means what? Consciousness does not depend upon anything else for its existence. Why? Because consciousness has no other cause. Understand, it has no other cause. Therefore, it is not a relative cause, the absolute cause. Is it clear now? These things, remember? Consciousness is self-existent because it does not depend upon anything else for its existence. We are going to understand later on how. Not now, maybe next class. And because it is self-existent, what do we say? It has no other cause. Because it has no other cause, what anything which has a cause has a beginning. Because it is causeless, it has no beginning. Simple. So consciousness is self-existent. It has no cause. Because consciousness is uncaused, causeless, absolute cause, it is beginningless. Simple thing. Okay, consciousness is beginningless. When you say it is beginningless, it's also what? Endless. Because consciousness is endless, it is what now? It is changeless. Anything which has a beginning has an end. Anything which has an end is subject to change. But because beginningless, endless, self-existent, causeless, uncaused cause, it is of the nature of changelessness. Okay, consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. You can say beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless. Okay, cause is what? You can say consciousness, self-existent. Is it clear now? This another. Therefore, we can say consciousness is not subject to time. Anything which has a beginning and anything which has an end, subject to change alone, can be said to be what? Time bound. Kala varayarekku utpattadu. But the kala varayarekku utpadadadu, it is not subject to time. It is not bound by time. Therefore, timeless. When you say timeless, when you can say eternal. The meaning of the word eternal means what? Timeless. That which is of the nature of timelessness. That which is of the nature of beginninglessness. When you say timeless enough. If you say timelessness, it implies what? When you say consciousness is of the nature of timelessness, that means what? Beginningless, endless, changeless. Therefore, you can say consciousness is of the nature of eternity. Eternal. Consciousness is eternal. We are slowly going, okay? It become very, very clear. And we say, because consciousness is the reality, of everything. And it's also what? It's all pervasive. It is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Sarva vyapakam. Okay? Sarva vyapakaha. Kala titaha. No, sarva vyapi. Sarva vyapakaha means all pervasive. There is no space where consciousness is not. There is no place where consciousness is not. There is nothing which is not pervaded and permeated and penetrated and permeated and pervaded by consciousness. Okay? Therefore, we say consciousness is of the nature of knowing. Don't ever forget, okay? Which is pure knowledge. Which is available, the pure knowledge is available for recognition as the meaning of the word. I as the knower, as the experiencer, is of the nature of timelessness, is of the nature of changelessness, is of the nature of self-existence. And this is what? All pervasive, therefore it is spacious, okay? It is all pervasiveness. And then we say, listen now, it pervades everything. Let us learn these two words today. Therefore, consciousness is not subject to time, consciousness is not subject to space. That means what? Spatially limitless, time-wise limitless. Other than consciousness, everything in this creation has beginning, has an end, undergoes changes, therefore everything is time bound. And everything is time wise limited. Whereas consciousness alone is free from time limitation. Similarly, consciousness alone is what? Spatially limitless. Everything other than consciousness is spatially limited. If you have come here, you are not at home. Even in Tilaka's house, even though I am a huge, big, fat woman, still I can occupy only this much space. I am not there. Still, Dr. Ji could use his chair. So, others, you could, all of you, this is this much only space I can occupy. Spatially limitless. If it is here, it is not there. It is there, it is not here. Get up and walk in the kitchen if we are not here. That means what? Every object in this universe is spatially limited. It's not everywhere. Every object in this universe is subject to time limitation. Why? It has a beginning. It has an end. There was a time when the object was not there. There will be a time when the object will not be there. Therefore, everything is subject to time and space, whereas consciousness is of the nature of timelessness, all-pervasiveness. Therefore, consciousness is free from time limitation and spatial limitation. Consciousness is time-wise, spatially limitless. Okay, I have to leave only one limitation, object limitation, but I won't tell you now, I'll tell you later on. Is it clear now? Therefore, we say it is anantam, infinite. Why do you say it's infinite? It's not finite. You can say consciousness is of the nature of infinitude. But if you say consciousness is infinite, if you say it is not it has time limitation, we can say finite object. It is infinite. Understand? If it is not all pervasive, I can say finite. So anything which is subject to time is what? Spatially also limited. A time-wise limited object is spatially also is limited. Except space, okay? Except the one thing, space, everything is subject to spatial limitation also. And consciousness is not subject to spatial limitation. It's clear? Therefore, it is of the nature of infinitude. And now you remember well, not only consciousness is self-existent, consciousness is the very existence of the universe. How? Please understand. I have to give again the same example of water and the ocean. The water does not claim itself to be the cause. Understand? The water does not say the ocean is the effect also. But we, the buddhi, our buddhi wants to know. So we stand on the seashore and see here, oh, we see so many waves making noise. We see a big ocean. And they, after all, when you go and see, nothing but just the water. Go near and see, it's the water. If we take away the water from here, these waves all will disappear, the ocean will disappear, these words ocean and waves, all this business, okay, all this business connected to the ocean will all disappear. What is the one thing without which, what is that one thing, minus which, without which, the ocean full of waves, or ocean and the waves, will have no meaning at all? That is what? The truth, the reality of the ocean. Therefore, if the water exists, ocean has existence. Even if the ocean is not there, still the water can be in some other form. If the water is not there, ocean is not there. Therefore, existence of the water is the existence of the ocean. You have to say that existence of the water is the existence of the ocean. Why? Because without the water, ocean cannot exist at all. Therefore, now we can say, where does the ocean exist? In water. Now we can say, water is the very existence of the ocean. Water is the life of the ocean. Water is the existence of the ocean. What is it which really lends existence to the ocean? It's the very existence of the ocean. Therefore, we can say, water is the existence of the ocean. Similarly, please listen carefully, similarly, existence of consciousness is the existence of the universe. That how we have not yet understood, we are going to understand in the following classes. But now I want to understand this much. Existence of consciousness is the existence of the universe. Therefore, the universe exists in consciousness. Like how the ocean has its existence in the water, the whole prapancha has its existence in consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the existence of the universe. Consciousness is the life force of the universe. Is it clear now? And what is the word we use to mean the word existence in Sanskritam? Satyam or Sat. So consciousness is of the nature of existence. Consciousness is the existence of the universe. Is it clear now? We understand all. See, now it is how you have to slowly have to remember this. I'll be repeating this too many times. I'll be saying in different contexts. I'll develop things with the textbook. I'll come next class with the textbook, and you're going to follow the textbook. We'll do systematically, step by step. Then everything becomes clear, crystal clear. If you open your eyes, how you can't miss the light. Like, be with me in the class, you will see. Okay? consciousness is the nature of existence. So what is the word we use? Satyam or Sat. Sattunavu, Sattu Porul, we say in Tamil. Okay, Sat of the universe. Existence of the universe. Consciousness. Is it clear? Today I made a very serious class. Too many things to understand. Remember, doesn't matter. I have to tell you the same anyway. Because every time I started and we're doing them for some time, remember these things, doesn't matter, we'll repeat. And today we had to do some, Vijayadashmi, we had to do some chanting also, half an hour we had to spend there. Doesn't matter, it's 9 o'clock now. And we'll see Chit and Ananda, etc. next class. I'll teach you some, next time my books will be there, textbooks will be there for you to, I can use textbook and start the textbook.